Hi, this is Jacob Scher. Welcome to the Job Mob Podcast. Hi everyone, this is Jacob Scher. In today's podcast, I'll be talking with Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary's actually a really interesting guy. He'll tell you the timeline of his business and his success in the podcast interview itself. But just for the people who are less familiar with him, he basically took his family business, which was a wine store, and grew it into an online empire. And at the same time, by showing what he could do in the online space, he became known as a personal branding and a social media guru, someone who's very respected and very widely known for the things that he's done there, especially with multimedia, with video in particular. He's now released a new book about how he thinks people should go ahead and embrace these things for their own success. And that's really the focus of this podcast. You'll see that in the first, let's say, about 10, 15 minutes of the podcast, we talk about his history and about his success with entrepreneurship. And then in the last 15, 20 minutes, we go into a little more detail and he touches on more practical tips that can be useful for job seekers, for people who are looking for career success or entrepreneurial success. And you'll see that we had a lot of fun with this podcast, so I'm sure you'll enjoy it. And I'll talk to you again at the end of the podcast. Enjoy. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Jacob. How are you?
I'm great. Good to hear from you. So let's get right to it. I know you don't have a lot of time, so I really appreciate you coming on the Job Mob podcast today.
No problem.
Now, who is Gary Vaynerchuk? Or actually, what is Gary Vaynerchuk?
You know, he's a dude that really loves his family and loves the process of being an entrepreneur more than the rewards that come along with being with it.
Okay. And where did this come from, this being an entrepreneur? Take us back years ago. Where did you come from? How did you get into that mode of being an entrepreneur?
Sure. So, you know, I grew up I was born in Belarus in the former Soviet Union. And we left that Russia in 78, came to the US. Mm-hmm. And basically, I was an entrepreneur from the get-go. I had a lemonade stand. I had, you know, a garage sale business. I cleaned cars, shoveled snow. The bottom line is that I fundamentally am a entrepreneur from my DNA, and I've always listened to my DNA, and that's been very important and successful for me.
So wait, does that mean that you've never actually worked for anybody else?
That is correct. Even when I worked for my dad, I really didn't. He did a great job, and I did a great job, and, you know, it kind of was what it was.
And so was there ever, so you had a lemonade stand. That was the first time that you went out on your own?
Yeah, I would say that I can remember, yes.
And where did you get the idea to do that? I mean, I know that lots of kids have gone through a kind of phase like that, and they didn't make as many nickels as they expected or whatever it was, and so they kind of gave it up. But I guess you had some success with it and just gave you motivation to go further. What happened there?
I didn't know anything different, you know? I'm not very good at not being me. And who I was somebody that was going to buy and sell things. It's kind of what I knew. And it's something that I've just never thought of anything other than doing that. It's what I do, it's what I love, and that's it. That's the game for me.
Okay, so let's like see what the timeline was. Your lemonade stand, how old were you when you had your lemonade stand?
Five.
5 years. Okay. And was it profitable?
Yeah, and what's funny is it started already showing what I was about. I was very creative. I went into like Italian ices very quickly. I started freezing them in the fridge.
Okay.
And baseball cards became comic books, became collectible toys, became antiques. You know, and wine became wine to then wine retail to then wine internet to then wine media. So, you know, I evolve often.
Okay, but give us an idea of the timeline there. So I see how comics became antiques. I mean, what are we talking about in terms of years?
So basically, I was 5 to about 12, 11. I just did odd things like car washing and raking leaves and ripping flowers out of people's yards and selling it back to them. Then from 12 to 16, I did baseball cards very successfully. Then probably 17 to 18, I did comic books. And then probably 18 to 21, I did toys, Star Wars starting lineups. Mm-hmm. And then 21 to about 30, I did wine retail. And then 30 to about 32, I did wine media. And then in the last year and a half, I've done a lot more business consulting and business entrepreneurial, sure, angel investing, speaking, author stuff.
Okay. And through all that time, what was the thing that you enjoyed doing the most?
The newest thing, right? Like those first couple of days of, oh my God, I love wine and I'm going to be a big time wine retailer. That standing at the bottom of the mountain,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Sure. I remember, I have to say that my introduction to you, I saw a clip of you on Conan O'Brien eating mud.
Yes.
That was my first taste of what you can do. And so, okay. Now, throughout that time, so you were just kind of learning by trial and error, or like you mentioned your dad before, was your dad mentoring you as you developed through the years?
You know, I think my mom has a lot more impact on my development than my dad, though my dad, you know, they both worked hard. My dad taught me some great principles. I'm more of like genetics driven, Jacob, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I am who I am. I mean, my parents definitely molded me in some ways, but I'm such a strong character. I mean, I love my mom more than the world, and she wanted me to be a better student, and I didn't. I just couldn't. I was always me. And my dad and I view business very differently, and my will won out, no doubt about it. So I'm very strong-willed and very passionate, really know who I am, and I really feel like I'm more like genetic freak more than a molded product, right?
Sure. And so during let's say as things were kind of picking up, maybe in the teenage years, let's put it this way, when did you start to feel as if it was going to really become something big?
Which part?
Like, when did you start to sense that this, because you were going from one business to another, so did you have an idea that you were going somewhere that at some point you would break out and become a bigger phenomenon or have a larger scale business, or were you kind of just searching for something that would work? Why was there an evolution, I guess you could say?
Mainly because it's how I'm wired, right? I need to be happy 100%, and the second 1% creeps in, I'm out. Mm-hmm. So I just need to be challenged, and whether I build the biggest business in that sphere or not, once I feel like I've kind of gotten the fun out of the competition and the climb and the education, I move on to the next thing.
Okay, and so what is it that is fun to you in something in a new business? Is it the challenge of doing something different? What is it exactly?
Yeah. It's being in last place. I like the climb. I like the challenge. I don't like winning. I stopped liking the Yankees and the Rangers after they won championships.
Okay.
You know, I'm in it for the grind, Jacob. I'm in it for the challenge.
Okay. So you're, like you said, the uphill climb. You don't like being on the top and just sitting and looking down as if there's nothing ahead of you and it's all behind you.
You know, I'm like a girl that likes bad boys.
Okay. And in your different journeys, which was the highest mountain to climb? Which was the one that was hardest?
I don't know. I mean, that's a great question. I don't think I've ever really looked at it that way. I would say probably the wine retail side, only because all the challenges working with my dad, family businesses are tough, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so what about, okay, let's look at it this way, because you kind of hinted at this before that in a way, at times, maybe your parents have held you back.
Is that true?
I don't know if it's no. There was a question asked. There's some questions out there. I just don't think people realize how difficult it is to be in a family business. I feel like I had to do things that were better for everybody except me because there were so many other people involved. And everything is pro and cons. I just think that people get caught up in people that have a head start with a family business and don't recognize that there's an enormous amount of limitations and difficultness in that as well, you know?
Sure, sure. And so it's funny because we used to have a family business as well, and so I totally understand where you're coming from and how bad, unfortunately, things can go. Is it safe to say that in your business today, there are no family members?
Oh, the funny part is, Jacob, don't get it wrong. My dad and I have a great relationship, and there's struggles, but Wine Library's perfect, and we're perfect, and AJ's my partner, my brother in VaynerMedia, and I don't mind it. It's just difficult, you know?
Right. Okay. Now, in terms of obstacles, a lot of entrepreneurs talk about the obstacles that came along the way they had to overcome. Give us an idea of some of the things that were really challenging for you that you may have even thought to yourself, well, maybe this is not the right thing to be doing right now. Did that ever happen to you?
Never. Never. It's just never happened to me.
So you see a wall, you go right through.
It's just not the way I'm wired, Jacob, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't know anything, else. I just see stuff. I know I can do it. Mm-hmm. I work really hard. I do it and I just move on. I don't cry and I'm not capable of really seeing the negative. I'm just not. It's not the way I roll.
Okay. Well, what about the idea of failure? But in the sense that, a lot of people, they say, oh, I'm never going to get to, it's never going to happen the way I wanted to. And they stay all pessimistic. But what I like to tell people is if you look at anybody, if you look at, let's say, a Donald Trump, he's failed many, many times at certain things. Of course, but people remember the successes. So what about you? Have there been some failures that you've had to learn from that you have helped you along the way? Or has it just been 100% success all the way through?
Well, I was a massive failure education-wise my first 18 years. All my friends' parents that didn't know me well thought I was a loser because my grades were bad. And that was fine because the parents that did know me knew that I was going to crush it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I made mistakes of not taking advantage of opportunities, but decision to do something, Jacob, I want to learn and I want the process more than I want the financial results. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't view anything as a negative,
Okay.
And you know what I mean? I want the process and the education out of going through it more than I wanted to make money. And that always enables me to be fairly successful, if that makes sense to you.
I think that I can understand that some people, they just need to get their hands dirty. They don't want to just read about it. They actually have to go and do it and really get the most out of it by having their hands in there, like you're saying, basically. I can understand. I mean, school, there are no question there. Education can be had many ways. And school is a framework and it doesn't always – I know lots of people who did much better when they were out of school than when they were in school, and it sounds like you're the same thing. Of course, there are some people who are very successful.
More importantly, I just know who I am, and I think that's very, very important. I think that people don't know who they are,
mm-hmm.
and I want people to know who they are.
Okay, so let's talk about something practical. So I think that's actually a really good point that you're making. This is something that I see all the time in terms of job seekers. They just either they don't know what they want, or they don't know what, even looking back on what their achievements have been, they don't necessarily know how to measure themselves in terms of what their skills are. So how do you recommend people get to know themselves better?
It's a difficult question, but I think that everybody really knows who they are, and they try to front for for everybody else. And I think they need to put themselves in a position to be more authentic and understand that the new world we live in pretty much dictates that kind of authenticity. Mm-hmm. And I think the quicker people recognize that and embrace who they are instead of what they're not, mm-hmm. that they're going to be leading themselves to a far better success ratio. And I'm very focused on that.
Well, I mean, would you say, like, let's say, being online in terms of branding yourself online, whether it's for business or for anything else, for a hobby or so forth, it seems to me it is difficult to front, like you're saying, online as opposed to in person when people are around you and there's peer pressure, that kind of thing. What's your take?
My take is that the quicker you're able to really wrap around the things that you like, you know, it's kind of like senior year of high school, right, Jacob? Mm-hmm. I want people to act like that. The second half of senior year of high school is where so much good stuff happens. It's where so many people are truly themselves. And I wish people extended that vibe, that last semester of senior year, and played life like that the whole time.
Kind of like a devil may care attitude because school is almost over.
Yeah, I mean, do you remember? People showed their real personalities more.
Right.
You thought you knew somebody for 3.5 years and then they were kind of just like more comfortable within their own skin.
It's funny, I saw that, it's true, you see it at the end of school, but you also see it when people meet up, let's say at a reunion later on, where there is none of the school framework around anymore and people can just relax a bit.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Okay, and at what point, to change direction a little bit, at what point did you decide you've achieved so many different things, to just wrap it all up and put it into a format, into a book that can help other people?
I'm sorry, what was the – I cut off for 1 second, Jacob. I caught the last end. What was the beginning part of the question?
Sorry. Basically what I was saying was that, I mean, you've had so many experiences and you listed like 10 different businesses that you went through in about 25 years. At what point did you say to yourself, okay, I can definitely help other people by getting this down in print?
Yeah. It started in 2007 when I – right before the end of the year, I started doing these GaryVaynerchuk.com videos. Mm-hmm. When I knew that I could really talk about business, because business was changing and I understood what was going on and I felt that I could articulate that better than a lot of people. So I started putting out those videos and that just naturally led to, you know, the conferences and the speaking, mm-hmm. which led to a lot of people offering me book deals, which led to me saying, you know what, let me do this, I can help. And a lot of people read and a lot of people don't know who I am. And let me use this book platform to go a little bit more mainstream and get my message out.
Okay. So the title of the book is Crush It, Cash In on Your Passion. And one of the things that you're well known for is your passion. Now you've said it a few times, you're wired for this. Have you always been so passionate about everything? I mean, even going back to when you were 5 years old,
yes. You know,
is there a story that stands out that just shows how passionate you can be?
You know, it's like every story, right? Like the gusto that I put into the things that I want to do is unparalleled. It's 150%. If I want to do it, I'm doing it. It's just, it's a run through the wall mentality.
Right. Okay, and does it run in your family or is it just you that's like that?
I think everybody in my family is very strong-willed and passionate, massively competitive, Jacob. I think that's a really subtle but important part of the process.
Okay.
And clearly one of the more exciting things is to make my parents proud, and it's a very big driver for me.
Sure. I guess they are proud.
They're proud of me because who I am as a person, because of all the attention and all the different things that have happened, the fact that I'm still a good person and all those things. But, you know, parents don't care about cash. Parents care about who you are.
Yeah, they don't go to your head.
And And you know, so they're just proud of me of who I am as a person.
Okay, great. And so, what's next? Like this book, it's kind of a sum up of things that you've done. What are you hoping to accomplish with, like, really, if for it to be a success in your mind? I'm not talking about in terms of monetary, like what you were saying before. At what point do you say to yourself, I'm really happy with what I accomplished here by writing this book?
I it's more actually of my outlook, Jacob, than what I've done, right? Because nobody wants to read somebody bragging about what they've done. I've created a context for people to think about where the world's going. I think media is changing. I mean, Jacob, look what we're doing right now.
It's great. I'm sitting in Israel.
And I'm in New York, and it doesn't cost us anything. I mean, can you imagine if we told this to somebody 15 years ago?
That boggles the mind.
That's right. And so what I am is a reactionary businessman. I have no idea what I'm doing next. But the second I see something that has value, I'll be there.
Okay. I can imagine. I can imagine. That's how you change 10 different businesses like that.
That's right.
It's funny because, I mean, you hear, like, again, kind of a classic sense that someone has this goal. They must have the biggest company. They must have a certain bestseller and so forth. But no, like you said, you're reactionary. You find something that works for you and then you go after it and you crush it, like you say. And then once you've crushed it, you're like, okay, now it's crushed. So let's go on to something else.
That's it. You know, you're painting an absolutely perfect picture because that's exactly the process.
Okay. And so let's get a little more practical.
Sure.
Again, for someone who's a job seeker, okay, they're passionate about a lot of things. It could be about their job. It could be about their industry, their profession, and so forth. How can being passionate help them find their next job?
Because my entire thesis is to find what you're passionate about and create content around it, and then work the room and get people to find out about it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just like in the real world, if you're always networking around the things you like the most, it's very likely that you're going to meet the person that gives you the break, because people make the decisions for a job, right?
Right.
Not robots, not your resume. There's a human being that makes a yes, no call, right?
At some point, there has to be.
There has to be. So my thing is, put yourself out there through content. I mean, look at what I've done. You know, the Gary Vaynerchuk videos, people pay me $15,000 to $30,000 to speak, you know, $50,000 a day. I got a big book advance, all around the same general principles that are in those videos. Right? I didn't hold them back to sell them later. I just put it out there. And I think more people do that, they'll be far more likely to find jobs because they're going to be talking to the people that eventually make those decisions to hire them.
So you're saying just throw your passion out there, just throw it up on the wall, see whatever sticks.
With a little bit more of a tactic, right?
I
mean, you've got to fish where the fish are. But if you want to become, if you're a lawyer and you're out of a job, to not go to search.twitter and type in law terms and lawyers and engage with those people is silly, because these are people that are in your ecosystem and have a very high chance of helping you get that job.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so do you think it matters whether you're out of a job, like you said, that you're actually unemployed, or if you are employed but perhaps hoping for something better, whether it's another job or promotion, does that matter?
I'm sorry, once again, that chopped on me for a hair.
Sorry. Okay, I'll repeat myself. Do you think it matters whether someone is, if the context is if they're out of a job, if they're unemployed, or whether they're currently employed yet they're looking for another job or they're hoping for a promotion? Do you think it makes a difference?
I don't think if you're at the top of the hill or at the bottom of the mountain, it makes any difference. It's the same place that should be leveraged to create opportunity.
Okay. Now, so someone's they say, okay, this sounds great. I'm going to put myself out there. What's the first step? Where should they begin?
They should create a home. So It's all about having a blog, whether you put it on Tumblr or WordPress. I do not believe that Twitter or Facebook are a home. I want you to have your own home on the web, web presence. And you've got to figure out what, you know, what you want to do, and then you got to create that world, design it, and then you've got to start pumping out content, whether it's video, audio, or written, around that passion. And that's that. You know, that's what you do, Jacob. You create that content around fishing because you love fishing, or gardening, or yoga, or tea, and then you go into the new playing fields of Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and forums and blogs and become part of the community.
Okay. And just by showing what you can do and connecting with other people, gradually things will happen for you. Is that kind of what you're saying?
That's kind of everybody's thing of the way it's always worked in mankind. We're just using computers now instead of doing it face to face, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'd go and be an intern at a record label and you did some good work and people recognized it. And then you got promoted to being an actual employee. And then you did good things and people recognized it and you moved up the chain. Same game.
Right. What about the... I mean, you have people working for you. Are they all just as passionate as you are? Is that something that you can measure when you're hiring them?
Yeah. I mean, at some level they are. I mean, I'm obviously a freak, right? I'm just super, you know, super genetically excited. But everybody I hire is a good human being and has definite levels of passion, not necessarily as insanely over the top as mine, but very intense nonetheless.
Okay. Is there anything you can do for downtime? Like is at some point, don't you have to give the passion a bit of a rest?
When I fall asleep begrudgingly.
Right. Does it scare children?
And elders.
Terrific. Okay. And so what was it like? I mean, I would assume that writing the book for you was kind of a natural extension of the things you were already doing. If anything, writing a book is kind of more classic than the video and the multimedia and so forth and so on. And so what was it like for you getting that book together?
A recorder. So I did what I did best, which is talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't too difficult. I mean, I don't communicate well through the written word to the same level I do through video and audio. And so that's what I did. I put myself in the best position to win.
Okay. So you basically, you spoke it. It's a spoken word
book. It's a spoken word book. It really is.
No, but that's great. I mean, again, I mean, you know what your strengths are. You're very familiar with yourself and what you can do. Otherwise, other people would faff around for a while, try to do something that is perceived to be the best way to go. That's terrific. Okay. I see that we're getting close to the end of time here. Where can people find the information about the book, about you? Tell me where to go.
Crushitbook.com. is definitely the spot to get all things Crush It Book. So that would definitely be the place.
Okay. And what about your other adventures, like the wine?
Sure. WineLibraryTV.com
mm-hmm.
is where I do my daily wine show. Facebook.com/Gary is a place I hang out with quite a bit, Twitter.com/GaryV, GaryVee.
Terrific. Let's see, one last thing.
Hello, everybody. I'm Randy Webster. Welcome to Book Label, educating the world one book.
Sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. One last thing I was going to say. I just flipped my mind. It's okay.
Sorry,
sidetracked. No, it's not a problem. Oh no, okay, so here we go again. So one of the things that you've been very active with has been Twitter. Now, in terms of using Twitter, I mean, you only have 140 characters. How well can you really project all your passion in 140 characters?
Quite easily. You know, just I link to things.
Did you, excuse me, you said you link to things?
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, you just link. You know, I have videos all over the place, but I just say, hey, watch this. It doesn't take 140 characters. So the character limitation is nothing. It's just, Twitter's a distribution tool. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways to get across what you need.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. And just people should just go on Twitter and just start using it, type of thing. Again, like kind
you
of
know,
like
people. Jacob, you know what? People should do what the heck they want. You know. but if they want to build brand and they want to use tools that are word of mouth on steroids, then they should definitely consider Twitter.
Okay. And before you were saying, start off with a blog with your own web space, maybe have your own domain name, I suppose, and then go from that and start using the other tools like Twitter?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that there's so many opportunities and niches to be filled out there, and I hope people grab it because we only live once, and if you're not happy when you're working, considering how much time we work and sleep, we have very little time for anything else. I think you're making a massive mistake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what? I'm not sure that you know yet, but what's the future hold for you?
I have no idea. You're exactly right. You've got me down. You've got me pegged, Jacob. I mean, I just don't. You know, I know that I'll be paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important to me.
Well, let me ask you this. How do you pay attention? What's your preferred way of paying attention right now?
You know, reading my email, going to TechCrunch, watching what people are saying on Twitter, just engaging, being part of the ecosystem.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much, Gary. Awesome. I really appreciate it. Had a great time
talking
to you.
I did too, man. Stay well.
Thank you. You too. Good luck at the book launch.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Okay, you too. Be well.
Hi, it's Jacob Scher again. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Gary. As you could tell, we had a lot of fun with it. If you're interested in his book, which I'm sure will be as exciting as listening to him, you can find it at crushitbook, all stuck together, no spaces, no hyphens, .com. And if you'd like to hear more podcasts, more Job Mob podcasts, whether interviews with an expert or other kinds of Job Mob podcasts, well, you can find them all on Job Mob at jobmob.co.il/podcasts. I hope you enjoyed listening to this, and I'll talk to you again soon.